Keep it to English this morning. So this morning we've been celebrating with song the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it has been amazing, right? So just really just appreciate the choir and all the musicians. It's been a great service so far of just celebrating the truth and the central aspect of the Christian faith, that Jesus died for us, but then he was risen to new life, and he will come back. Now, in our regular Sunday services, since September, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew here at Greenfield. And the sermon series is called Kingdom Come, as you can tell. And this morning, this Easter morning, we proclaim that the kingdom has indeed come. The kingdom hoped for hundreds and hundreds of years in the pages of the Old Testament, that the kingdom anticipated by the prophets, the kingdom preached by Jesus himself, that kingdom has been inaugurated by the death and resurrection of King Jesus. And that same kingdom will come in its fullness when he returns at the end of the ages. Amen? Amen. Now this morning I want to explore Matthew's account of that first Sunday morning, some 2,000 years ago. And there's a number of firsts in this passage, and I guess that makes sense because this is, you know, the account of when Jesus was first raised from the dead, first and only time he was raised from the dead. But specifically, I want to look at how the two women, who were really the first responders, you know, to Jesus, and how they were the first resurrection witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ. So the very first is that early in the morning that the women were first to the tomb. It says in verse 1, after the Sabbath at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So here you have two Marys. Now, the two Marys being talked about, but one of them is Mary Magdalene. And you know, so she is named. She is a Mary that was one of Jesus's prominent women followers, all the way from Galilee. So she's kind of been with Jesus ever since Jesus healed her from some demons. And so she's been with Jesus for a while. The other one is just referred to, and the other Mary. Now, part of it is that it probably here is referring to mother of James, the mother of James and Joseph that's identified in the previous chapter. So here you have these two Marys. They get up early in the morning, and according to Matthew's gospel, they went simply to look at the tomb. There's no mention of wanting to anoint the body, perhaps because in the gospel of Matthew, as we saw on Friday, that Jesus has already been anointed by an unnamed woman in the house of Simon the leper. Or perhaps they wanted to go see what would happen because they remembered the times where Jesus predicted his own death and that he would rise again on the third day. We actually don't really know what took them to the tomb that morning, according to the Gospel of Matthew. Now, not only were the women first to the tomb, but they were with Jesus through all of the events, his arrest, his suffering, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, that, and specifically these two women are noted to be with Jesus at each of those events, that they were present at his crucifixion as they watched from a distance with some other women. They were present at his burial. So they saw Jesus' body taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb. And then they were there the next morning when they discovered the tomb was empty. Now, the faithfulness of these women stands in stark contrast, and kind of sorry, guys, but to all the male disciples who had abandoned Jesus. They abandoned Jesus at his arrest, and they all failed him. Some of them spectacularly, of course, like Judas, but the others weren't there, while the women were. And it's surprising that Matthew and all the Gospels emphasize this so much, that it's the women who were faithful throughout. So when the women get to the tomb, everything went crazy, right? That Matthew records that there was a violent earthquake, and perhaps this is the same earthquake that was mentioned at Jesus' crucifixion. The cause of the earthquake is described here as clearly supernatural. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled back the stone. God was at work, right? He was orchestrating the events. And so when the two women got to the tomb, they kind of went there and they noticed that the stone had been rolled away. There's an angel sitting on top of the stone. And then there's a couple guards, kind of passed out on the ground. And there's a great irony here that, okay, literally it says that they became like dead men, right? That the guards at the, you know, when this angel came down and the tomb was, the stone was rolled away, that they became like dead men and they passed out. And the irony is that the ones assigned to guard the dead person themselves appeared dead, while the dead one had been made alive. I think it's kind of cool. So this is the event. This is what you have. This is what's happening. And then you have another first, where not only do the women get to the tomb first, they're also the first ones to hear the gospel. They are the first ones to hear the message that Jesus has risen from the dead. The angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." This declaration rules out all alternative explanations for the empty tomb. It explains the existence of the empty tomb. The tomb is empty because Jesus has been risen. He has been raised from the dead. The same woman who saw Jesus crucified, the same woman who saw his body sealed in the tomb, now these same women are invited to look in the tomb and to see where Jesus lay as proof that the body was no longer there. The angel is the first to proclaim the gospel, while the women are the first to hear it. And the gospel message, in a nutshell, is summed up by the angel's statement. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. The death and resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, is at the very heart of the Christian faith. The suffering and crucifixion of Jesus that we've remembered on Good Friday is only part of the picture. Because if Jesus was not raised from the dead, then he's only a martyr. A righteous man who died at the hands of a corrupt empire. But Jesus' resurrection is absolutely central. And we probably see this clearest in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where in chapter 15, Paul lays out a whole argument about the centrality of the resurrection for the Christian faith. Paul says that if Jesus was not raised from the dead, the Christian faith is futile. It's worthless. It's silly. And our preaching is in vain. And there's no forgiveness of sins. There's no path to reconciliation with God. Without the resurrection, Jesus would not be our Savior. And death would be final. It would be the end, making Christians, as Paul says, the most pitied of all. We may as well just go home right now. But that's not the case. When the women got to the empty tomb, when they got to the tomb, they saw that it was empty, that Jesus is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. The women were also first to be sent. The angel tells them, go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Their message that they're supposed to relay has two parts. The first is the essence of the gospel, right? That Jesus has risen from the dead. That they are the ones who are privileged and get the honor to bear this message, this good news, to the other disciples. And then they're also supposed to tell them, go to Galilee, where they will see him for themselves. And it's interesting, this idea of going to Galilee, I was wondering, what exactly is being, you know, got at there? Why Galilee? One of my former students, who actually was an intern here, Michael Koch, I was reading a post that he had done on his blog a week ago. And he was talking about this particular question of why go back to Galilee? And I just want to give him a shout out because I think that his answer was right, that Galilee was where it all started with the disciples. Right? They were from Galilee. That's where Jesus called them first to follow him. And now, as they are in hiding, you know, that they shamefully abandon Jesus at his most important time, now he tells them, go back to Galilee. Go back and we can have a fresh start. We can have a new beginning. And so I think there's this sense of hope when he instructs them to go back to Galilee, where they first started to follow Jesus. So let's recap. Not only were the two women the first to see the empty tomb, they were also first to hear the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and they were the first to be sent to proclaim this good news to the other disciples. So with that commission, they take off. They hurry to go and tell the other disciples. And it describes them as being afraid, yet filled with joy. That they were probably so confused, right? That their rabbi, their master, who they've been following and supporting and serving for years, who they thought was dead, who they thought died a criminal's death on a cross. But now they were told that he is alive. And so they take off, and there's another first. Because as they were going, they are the first to encounter the risen Christ. And they are the first at that encounter to worship him. And so the text says, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Now, the nonchalance of Jesus here, I think, is kind of amusing, right? Like, the greeting that Jesus uses is the normal, everyday greeting that people would use. It was, like, in Greek, it was kind of like their hi, hello, maybe. You know, the NIV and other translations, I think that they kind of make it sound a little bit too formal. You know, like, oh, greetings, he said. But no, I think that Jesus was just kind of walking around just like any other day. And they encounter him and he says, oh, hey, hi. Now, you know, this nonchalance of Jesus is in stark contrast with the reaction of the women. Because for the women, it wasn't just any other day, right? That they had went to the tomb expecting to find it sealed, you know, that no hope, but instead they found the tomb empty. And then they had this encounter with this angel that told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. And go and tell the other disciples. And now they've encountered the risen Jesus himself. And so their reaction, their first response, makes total sense. They fall down, grab his feet, and they worship him. Because they realize that their rabbi, their master, is not just their rabbi, but is their Lord and Savior. And then they are first to be commissioned by Jesus himself. So Jesus reaffirms and repeats what the angel had told them. And he says, Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me. Jesus comforts the women and then personally commissions them and gives them this task of telling the other disciples that he indeed has risen. And I think it's significant that Jesus addresses and talks about the other disciples as my brothers. Right? They had just abandoned him. They had failed him. And yet Jesus refers to them with this term of intimacy. He says, my brothers, tell my brothers to go to Galilee and they will see me. I think this term of intimacy expresses hope for restoration. It, like going to Galilee in the first place, it also highlights that there will be a fresh start. There will be a new beginning for them as they are reconciled to Jesus. Despite their abandonment, that Jesus welcomes them back and then commissions them, as we'll see next week. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, the two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, are the first witnesses and proclaimers of the good news. And the gospel message that's entrusted to these two women that first Easter is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. This, the resurrection of Jesus, as I've already said, is a key element in the message preached by the earliest Christian church, and it's the hallmark of the authentic Christian proclamation down through the ages. Generation after generation, today, throughout the world, Christians are saying and proclaiming that he is risen. He is risen indeed. This message, confirmed by the testimony of the women to whom he first appeared, has been faithfully passed down from generation to generation. Just like the Apostle Paul from the very beginning, again in 1 Corinthians, said, for what I received, I passed on to you of first importance. that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the basis of the faith that unites us. And not only is the resurrection a central part of the proclamation of the gospel, but more importantly, it reveals who Jesus is to us. That the resurrection has significance for our understanding of who Jesus is, because it validates all his claims. Jesus' death and his resurrection to new life validates Jesus as the Messiah, right? The royal Messiah, the King. It validates his claims that he is Son of the living God. And it validates his claim that he is the one true Lord to whom worship is due. He was not just some wise teacher. He was not just a miracle worker. He was not just a social reformer. The resurrection vindicates Jesus and validates his messianic claims that he is all that he has said he is. That's why it's so appropriate at the end of the Gospel of Matthew that the resurrected Jesus commissions his disciples and says that by virtue of his resurrection, by his obedience, his death on the cross, his resurrection to new life, that at that point he can say, all authority has been given to me. Now go and be my witnesses. And that is something that we're all called to do, to go. And just like the women on that very first Sunday, we can be witnesses to the resurrected Christ. Now, maybe you're here this morning in hope of a fresh start, a new beginning. And Easter, I believe, is about new beginnings. It is about fresh starts. Before that Easter, that first Easter morning, all the disciples, men and women, thought that their rabbi and the kingdom he proclaimed, that they thought that it died with Jesus on that Roman cross. But all that changed that first Easter morning when the women got to the tomb and found it empty, and they encountered this angel that said that Jesus had risen from the dead, and then they encountered the risen Jesus themselves. And this morning, I would like to invite you to consider the response of the women when they encountered their crucified and risen Lord, when they encountered Jesus. What did they do? They did what was appropriate, what that time called for. They clasped his feet and they worshiped him. Know that a fresh start is possible. Know that you can have a new beginning. Because Jesus died on our behalf and was raised to new life, we have hope. We can be forgiven. We can be reconciled to God and to one another. We can have new life.